about 10 days ago, you know, we were talking about how optimistic we were about the Vanderbilt men's team, you know, and we look at what they've done in the month of January, outstanding performance against Auburn in a loss to a team that at that time had won 25 out of 26 games. The only loss was in the Final Four last year. And then for the second straight year, an injury has now certainly changed the way we view this team the rest of the way.
Yeah, losing Aaron Neesmith. Jerry Stackhouse, I think, put it the best way. He said maybe this building is haunted. You usually don't get a coach that will just say what they're thinking in that way, but that's what a lot of us were thinking. You lose players every year. You usually have a player that will be out for an extended period of time with an injury. And you looked at it and said, well, okay, that's Vandy's already been hit by that. Cleavon Brown, the starting senior power forward, has been out for a number of games now. You think, well, that's the hiccup that they've got to get through. Losing Neesmith is just, it takes a team that I think probably was not going to win many SEC games, but, you know, four, five, something like that, at least would end the SEC losing streak, which is, what, at 23 games, I think, now, if you count the SEC tournament, maybe 22 games. It takes a team that was going to snap that and, you know, win four or five conference games to a team now that you say, is this going to be another Ofer? It very well could. I mean, you can look right now on Vandy's schedule and pick out a lot of teams that there's just no way they're going to beat. And there's a handful of teams in the SEC that you say, well, if they play a great game that night and don't make a lot of mistakes, they have a chance to win that game. There's just a few of them on the schedule from here on out from where I look at the team now. And Tennessee's one of them Saturday.
You know, I understand, you know, and, you know, we talk about the quality of the players that were lost last year and now this year. But, you know, it's one of these things from in the future from a recruiting standpoint. You got to be able to recruit and have a team, you know, deep enough as far as with depth. You know, maybe you change your expectations with a key injury like this, but it doesn't mean you go from high expectations to an Ofer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were seeing already. I mean, this was kind of a perfect storm to some extent because, you know, last year Bryce Drew signed three guys that ended up being three of the best players on the team. Two of them left for the NBA for the draft, and then Neesmith was the other one, and I'm sure he'll go into the draft this year. So you're replenishing your numbers, but you're replenishing your numbers with guys who are going to leave soon after that. And then, you know, what, three guys or whatever it was transferred in the offseason after they hired Stackhouse. And so you lose those numbers. You don't replenish all those, and then what you have replenished, you're having to bring in freshmen and start them, and they're starting as many as three freshmen right now. So the numbers are down. You can't really get caught up. What Stackhouse has to do now is recruit guys that are good players, that are SEC caliber players, but that are guys that, you know, you can keep around and develop over time. And, you know, like a Scottie Pippen, I think Scottie Pippen's probably going to be a four-year pretty good player. But that's the kind of guys you have to get. You don't want to. I mean, if you can get a five star, great. But I think those days are probably mostly gone. You need to try to get some four stars, some high three stars, develop them. But it's going to take a year or so just to catch up in numbers.
Hey, Adam, Steve Wrigley here. Thanks for taking the time to join us on the show. I'm always kind of fascinated when I think of Jerry Stackhouse being a great college player, being a longtime NBA guy, and now he's coaching college kids. Like he's got to go recruit, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids and coach him. What's his demeanor like, and have you seen any change from him through the season?
Well, he's, you know, his sideline demeanor is like an NBA coach, and I've said that to him a couple times before. He bristles at it a little bit because he has this pride about him that he has coached at every level now because he was actually in AAU for a little bit and NBA, obviously, for a long time in our college. He doesn't like to think of himself as just an NBA guy, but his demeanor is an NBA guy. It's of the guy that coaches 82 regular season games and another, you know, 10 or 15 playoff games. Those type of guys, NBA guys, usually will sit and watch and make subtle adjustments. and, you know, they don't blow their top at every bad call over 100 games. And that's kind of what you get from him, very teacher-like. I don't think that's going to change. And at practice, he's very active with the guys. Obviously, he can still play himself. He's very, very real active with the guys, but he's very kind of slow it down and teach, which I think helps the young guys. I don't really see that changing that much, but I will be interested to see how his staff adjusts to what I was saying about the numbers being down, because he has a number of NBA people on his staff, men and ladies both, and he's got some college on there too, but it's made up more like an NBA staff. It's a large staff, and they really rely on a couple of people to go try to find them players. Chief among them is David Grace, former UCLA assistant. And if he didn't get them or another guy didn't get them, you know, it's a narrow band of recruiting. They're probably going to have to pick that up a little more to replenish this roster.
Adam Sparks with the Tennessee and joining us. You know, we have the old saying that if you give somebody a fish, they eat for a day. If you teach them how to fish, they eat for a lifetime. Is that something similar to this release today? We get the news that a Vanderbilt connections as far as an alumnus from Seattle, $5 million gift as far as for the Commodores basketball program. It's not just the, you know, acknowledging somebody and that gift, but to me it's also a message out there that somebody is backing up and believes in this program, athletics program, and then also maybe it also attracts some more millions of dollars as far as in donations as well for whether it's football, basketball, or any of the other sports.
Yeah, anytime I tell fans that are almost hopeless of facilities getting upgraded and fundraising and all that, I remind them that you can't be hopeless on that front if you're at a place that produces attorneys and doctors and CEOs. You know, there's a lot of schools around the country that you say, how are you going to raise money for this project or that project? Well, it's just not there in the alumni base. Well, it absolutely is there with the Vanderbilt alumni base. You just have to convince people or take a different take with your fundraising and target different people or in different ways or have a better plan. So it's there. The potential is there, and the couple that gave the $5 million this morning—that's a it's EIG, which is a investment firm based out of Seattle. He also has another investment firm, I believe, before that. Got a lot of money, and he's perfectly fine with giving it to Vandy. There's a lot of other people out there like that are connected to Vanderbilt that are alumni. They just got to. I think they've got to go to them and say, this is the plan, and we're going to execute the plan. We need the funds to do it, and convince them that it's a plan that's going to work, and that obviously worked with this donation.
Adam, we had Ted Roof on here the other day talking about, you know, the new defensive coordinator, and I asked him, you know, when you look at the tape, what do you see? And he said, well, I'm not going to talk about personnel right now. I'm just kind of going to try to get to know these kids. When you think, and there could be two questions here. One, what do you think they need to do to turn that defense around? And is it something a coach could fix? And then number two, they get the $5 million gift for the basketball team. You know, I've been hearing people complain about that football stadium, Dudley Field, for 20 years. I mean, is there any room over at Vanderbilt to build another football stadium? Is an upgrade on the facilities in the making? And can this guy turn around the defense? A lot of questions there, Adam.
Well, on the stadium, yeah, I mean, it's been going forever. Most Vandy fans say, I'll believe it when I see it. Malcolm Turner, he's coming up with a plan. I'm also a little skeptical, but I think something's going to happen, and I think something will be announced by the end of the year. That's the timetable that they're running on, probably sooner than later. I don't think it's going to be a new stadium. I think it's going to be a renovation. I think a number of people will probably say, that's all? That's what you're calling a renovation? I think it'll be a moderate renovation. They say they're not – Malcolm Turner has said he's not going to go to another site, that whatever they do is going to be the current site of Vanderbilt Stadium and Dudley Field.
Well, so, can I ask you a question? See. Do they even dress in that stadium, or do they still walk across the street from McGugan Hall?
They still walk across the street from McGugan. Yeah, they have a locker room down there that's essentially a just a game day locker room. But they get dressed in McGugan and and walk across. You know, some schools do that, and it's not terribly weird, but it's you know, but that kind of gets into another debate, because if you ask Derek Mason, I'm sure probably if you ask James Franklin before him, you ask people around the football offices, what's needed more, everyday facilities, upgraded locker rooms, upgraded weight room, those kinds of things, or a stadium, you're going to get about 90% of people around the football program that says, no, the stuff that we use every day, that recruits will see every day,
we'll fill
that
stadium,
players see every day, that's what we need. We don't need a stadium that's used 7 Saturdays a year. As far as the defense, they get everybody back. They get all 11 starters. The defense will be competitive. It'll be fine. I don't know if it'll be good or not, but it'll be okay. You're not going to win unless you fix the offense. And Alan Walters, another quarterback today, has transferred. They had four guys that played quarterback last year, three different starters. All four of those guys are now gone. So you have two freshmen and a junior college transfer, and maybe they bring in another guy now to try to play quarterback. That didn't – musical chairs didn't work last year at that position. It's going to be a hard go to try to make it work this year.